For every $1 we spend on ads, we receive $10 in revenue.
With the right strategy, you can build an effective ad campaign too.
Attain a larger client base.
And generate more revenue for your business.
Stay tuned as we discuss how you can acquire customers through ads.
So I know most people that me and Eddie talk to, they're usually either doing a little bit of advertising or most people nothing at all to do their business. And I even hear people out there say, I grew my business this much with no ads, which that's all good and dandy and stuff, but that doesn't matter when you could have 10x your business if you'd have done it properly. Most times that just shows that the person doesn't know how to allocate the resources they have to put towards it. But we all don't know how to do something at some point in time. It's still stuff me and Eddie don't know how to do.
Yeah.
So a couple platforms that we have personally used and that we are currently using in order from the way that we like them would be Google, Bing, Yelp, which you can convert on Yelp, you just take a lot more. If for a search-based ad or intent-based ads, I would say. And then on the other side is Discovery. The only place that we run Discovery ads on is Facebook. And if we have a very specific kind of thing how we do that. But we're going to kind of go through and talk through some of these different platforms and what you can get out of them. Because we've done and spent resources and all these things across the board. We're gonna spend over $200,000 at least on ads this year at the minimum. We've already spent almost $100,000 this year. So Eddie,
what's up?
How you feel about these ads?
Ads?
Or these ad platforms, I should say.
The platforms. I think they've been producing pretty good for us. Just like the intro of this episode. The numbers speak for themselves. It just depends on who you go with, you get certain results. But also, we're learning a lot as we go through this journey with our businesses, just refining everything that we know.
Yeah, because any of these platforms work. You could be like, oh, I'm going to use Yelp, and I'm going to figure out. If you spend time and you figure out exactly what works on there, like all these platforms work. I remember someone was telling me one time, or I seen on the chat someone, they were like, hey, I'm spending $50 a day. I need to find another channel because my ads are maxing out the whole area. I'm like, oh, that's interesting. What area are you in? I'm like, you're in New York. Okay, this is probably not it. Or some people might say California or Las Vegas, these huge markets. $50 is not going to max out your area in one day. Realistically, $1,000 is not going to max out your area in those areas on a daily basis. Across, especially if you're doing Google ads, Bing ads, and if you're doing Facebook, it's 100% not going to max out your thing because the whole targeting that you can get into is a whole different perspective. So I usually use these platforms specifically when you want to go intent based, and everybody should start at intent based because most times you don't know your audience, you don't know exactly who's going to actually be trying to get what you do, but you can figure out what the intent is. So I would start off with Google. You want to try to write that up, and most people can write that up to way further than they can imagine. And you really don't have to do any other platforms besides that from like an intent base, but you go Google, and then once you get Google going, you'll copy those ads over to Bing, and then you'll maximize Bing and you'll run through there. And I know because you're saying, oh, Bing doesn't have searches. Bing has like 25% of searches, and a lot more people who are from a commercial standpoint search through Bing because it's their default browser. I mean, not browser, but the search engine.
Yeah.
In there. And then from there, you want to go from, and you decide if you're going to use Yelp. If you use Yelp, you got to use it the right way, which means you got to get all your reviews from there. And then just know that every 1 out of 5 might not show up, but every 1.5 bad ones will show up. So you got to just understand that and do the logic on that. Because we've sent like a lot of people, we have like 50, 60 reviews that don't show up. So the only thing that shows up is just, when people are mad.
Yeah. So it's kind of like biased towards our side anyways. Generally, the bad reviews, if you do get some, which you will, it kind of hurts you. So that's why we kind of steer away from Yelp because we feel like it's kind of unfair and we're investing into this platform.
Yeah. And so that's a platform eventually we're going to have to get back on and figure it out like everything else. But at the time, we move resources. But I will say, the reason why they do this, and I didn't understand this until we start using Trustpilot on Yelp. So when we start getting reviews on there, Trustpilot, every time someone gives a review, they rate that review to determine how authentic that review is. And then they can tell how authentic it is from how the person got to the link. Did they go to Trustpilot, search Kelly Rentals, or search whatever thing they do, and then go through it? And then how was the message structure? Was it copy and paste when they put it into the section? Did they spend some time on it? Did they think about it? Did they go through a long process? Was it more than two words? And which I think is what Yelp was trying to do on mm-hmm. their stuff. But the thing is, Trustpilot doesn't say that that review doesn't count. Just because someone might have been like, I want to give a review, but I don't got much to say.
Yeah.
But on Yelp, you don't have much to say. You get banished into the depths and stuff like that. And they'll have like reviews that they believe that are not, I forgot the exact wording on it. It's like, you know what I'm talking about? The little section, it's like a grade section. It's like reviews that
I know about
don't
it.
Have value or something. I don't know.
I don't know how you determine. That to me doesn't make sense. But you know, for some reason,
yeah, that's what they do. Yeah. And then because Trustpilot does something simpler, mm-hmm. but they'll just grade the review but still show you.
Yeah.
And then you can go make the decision for themselves. I think Yelp wants to. I think they're trying to
be like the police of everything and say, all right, this is good. Oh, this one's like not good. Yeah. We'll go ahead and throw that in there.
Yeah. So I do believe that, but I just believe that's how they get to Yelp from what I've looked at from the Trustpilot stuff, and then how they and then what they actually write and how mm-hmm. they write it. So like eventually when we start pushing stuff back to that platform to clean up that platform even more, I think that's going to be a strategy that we look into before. But you have to get all that stuff situated, and Yelp, you have to do like you have to get your reviews down, get all these services up on there. You would have to, you actually basically have to pay to play a lot more on there.
Oh yeah, for sure.
You have to do all that stuff, and then you can actually start running intent based ads, or it won't work as well. But I have seen people on the different forums who've used this for similar service businesses or similar rental businesses that have worked. But this is, you know, you kind of, your mileage may vary just depending on how much effort you put in. But any of these things work. Our biggest thing is Google. And then we follow Bing. And then when we go into discovery, we use Facebook ads, which for us, we didn't think we were going to do this at first, but the whole discovery point, it usually touches on people who have already viewed our website, and it kind of repushed it back in front of them. So that's the best thing that happened for us on there. So it's kind of like a retargeting that we set it up for. When I first set it up and I tried to pitch Eddie on the idea, I was thinking it would just be straight leads. But now I'm realizing it's just a combo to get more people. Some people, you know, forget about who you are. They forget about your number and stuff. Then they're like, oh, I don't want to go. This is kind of gets back out to them. And it works for us.
Yeah.
Now, to really define on which platform you're going to use, you have to define what your goals actually are. Because depending on what you're trying to do is totally different. So let me give you an example of like what we're doing now. Let's say that in the Rental Boys, we were planning on running ads. Like right now, since we're not really selling really nothing right now, it would be just interest-based. We would just be trying to get people to be aware of us, understand who we are, and then probably have some type of newsletter or something and sell from there. Mm-hmm. But you want to build your audience up. That's not, you won't be using that on Google Ads. You would run out of money.
No.
Just imagine paying like, if someone tells somebody want to like how to start a rent point, they pay $3 every time they do it. Google will take all your money. Now, if you were doing something, you know, which most of our stuff that we're doing are intent-based, so you should stick more to the search thing. But if you weren't, say if you were trying to do more awareness, most of the people who probably listening to this probably are not there. Realistically, if you're not in like the $10 million range or higher, really, or maybe higher than that, maybe in the $100 million range, I don't know, you have to be like a household, like trying to be household names and get mind share. So you have to be pretty big. So most people, you shouldn't really be doing a lot of things in discovery that's not retargeting. But it depends on your goal. So like, let me give you an example. Like, we're going to be running an ad for a company that we're about to put out called Talent Hunter Pro, where we help, basically it's a headhunter agency for people in the Philippines and in Latin America to help local service businesses answer their phones and make more money. So for us, you know, what will be our goal for that? Like that goal, like for the ad. What do you think, Eddie?
What I think personally,
yeah.
So, so I think what probably is just the to get the individuals that are actually looking for that service in front of us, so they have like the intent to like the purchase Because if they're searching for us, and obviously they have an intent, or they've heard something about this, and if not, also maybe a little bit of education on the whole thing, because a lot of people don't know this, that like the value that this brings as far as profitability into your organization. So you know, a little bit of both, I would say we probably could hit on those kind of targets.
Yeah. So basically, like I said, our whole thing would be to just get calls, or the book schedule calls. So then we can line them up, knock them down, and then before those calls, you like you said, you would want to educate them, because not a lot of people understand the market, and the people, especially specifically in the service industry, I mean, you guys know, it's probably new. Most people and some people still in America still thinks we're taking jobs away from people, but most times these jobs.
It's more of a I guess a dying profession, I guess you can say.
I would say that most people could not afford the other counterpart. So like I don't know if you want to get a really good, you know, CSR person nowadays. I've looked at just some of my cousins and stuff and what they're getting, and you know, I don't know if they're good or not, but I know what they're getting.
Yeah.
And you know, if you're paying like $25 an hour, and most service businesses can't afford to do that. Yeah. And then you end up getting someone for $5 an hour, or not $5, $15 an hour, and hoping that they work out, or $16. And
quality goes down.
Quality goes down, or you accept that quality is going to be like that.
Yeah.
And you know, and the difference between like a good person and a bad person could be like twice the amount of sales for you. So. That's what we have to educate on, and also the process behind it. So that's like one thing that we're going to be looking at on this thing. But for you, from a rental standpoint, the biggest thing that you get to find is what doing. If you're doing major festivals and the only thing you do is festivals, then like you're not going to have someone go ahead and just do a book now and book the whole festival.
No.
That's just not going to happen. You're going to have a longer sales thing. So your goal for using ads should be just to acquire leads. And then from there, you'll be going through the conversion process. If you're doing backyard events or you're doing bounce houses, those can convert probably straight up on the sales, right up on the site. People put information in, and you need to have automatic booking. Usually anything underneath $500, you can kind of convert pretty quickly. And you won't even really have to talk to the customers. So you have to understand that. So just depending on what you're doing, you want sales, you want calls. I know everyone's going to say they want sales. But realistically, some of these won't be the best way, because you're not going to be able to. You're going to say that they're not effective because people don't go through and just convert straight into sales. It is very difficult. First, if you're doing $100 events, for someone to go online and swipe their credit card for $100
and not talk to anybody.
And matter of fact, even it's going to be difficult when they first swipe that card, and most times it's not going to go through because someone's going to block it. Could be like, why are they spending this much money?
Mm-hmm.
So you have to, you know, really define that. So for generally, if you're doing most of your average stuff is under, I would say $1,000, you can kind of focus on sales or leads, one of those two. But I think everyone should just focus on getting as many leads as possible and then work on converting those leads over. So the main thing is that most people in the rental industry starting out, especially who are listening to this podcast or might be a little bit out, like 4 or 5 years out, you need to be focusing on leads right now. Don't really worry about trying to convert them straight from the site. You'll get some conversion, but focus on a maximum amount of people to come in as leads. Because I know for us, we're converting 33% is kind of the average of what we converted leads. So increase the leads, increase the amount of conversions, and keep it steady and kind of work from there. Now, the next thing is the ultimate checklist. Hit us with the checklist, Eddie.
The ultimate checklist. You and me have put a lot of time and effort in this bad boy. It's packed full of information, a lot of the stuff, the topics that we've been going over recently. So that way, if you ever need just to get the concentrated version, just check out the ultimate checklist. It'll help you out, get to where you need to go.
And it's free.
Oh, yeah, free.
Check the links down in the description.
So one of the statistics that I have is 80% of internet users see ads through Google's display network daily, and 65% of small B2B companies gain customers this way.
Yeah, and if you are out there, do not use the search display at first unless you actually know what you're doing, or you're going to waste all of your money. that's like a, it'll, when you first get on there, it'll be like, do you, like, it'll have everything clicked. Google obviously wants you to spend the most money.
Yep.
I'm not saying it doesn't work. I'm just saying that for most people starting out, it's not going to work for you, unfortunately, because it's, like if you look on there, the platform, it'd be display network, partners network, and then search. Those three things should be in three different campaigns. They should not be in the same thing. One of them, you're going to need to actually create something and build it out and actually go through on a website by website basis to figure out where your stuff should show up. Another one I don't think you should ever use, which is the partner one, because I don't, I mean, I guess you could, but I just don't personally like that. Maybe other people would be fair. And then the only one that you should be focusing on is actually Google's property, which Google's doing Google search. So people are putting something in, like, I want to rent chairs in Omaha or whatever, and then you are showing up there, not showing up on, you know, on Vogue somewhere underneath an article about the new shoes that so-and-so is wearing.
Yeah.
And then you show up underneath them just because they're in the area, or they're not in your area. They're like in, you know, in India somewhere.
Yeah. We actually had a consultation talk about that. We redefined their whole search and the words and everything like that. So.
Yeah. So don't do that.
So the second statistic that I have is 50% of people arriving at a retailer's site from paid ads are more likely to buy than those coming from an organic link.
So my general theory on this right here, which I'm not saying that. I don't work for Google. You work for Google?
Sure don't.
I wish you did. But we don't work for Google. But from the statistics and what I think this actually means, for people, is that generally when someone's clicking on an ad, they're clicking on the first thing at the top. They're ready to buy. They're ready to get going.
Intention.
Yeah, they're not. It's just all intent based. Generally, when you show up for searches, it's usually not on for those intent based keywords, and most of the clicks come from, you know, maybe it'll be like someone searching like green padded shirts, or they'll be searching like, you know, they'll be like very specific white garden chairs with no pad. You know, rentals, and then you go there, and maybe they're looking, trying to do, maybe they're doing more discovery, but usually when people come through ads, it's more search, and this can be totally different, because we have a tons of people who purchase stuff straight through the site, through organic, it just depends. I think this quote comes from Unbounce, which they have a lot of data, and their stuff is very, I think, realistically, what people use their software for, which is landing page software, is more specifically for, you know, ads. So obviously this might be skewed a little way, because like, I don't know who's building stuff on Unbounce and then using it for organic traffic, or maybe they did a different search somewhere else, who knows. So the most important thing about search ads or intent-based ads, which would be Google, Bing, whatever that you're using, is going to be your keywords, or more specifically what you don't want your stuff to show up for. Because I'm pretty sure you ever typed in something and you're like, why is IBM on this search, why is Microsoft on this? You know, you probably, I don't know if you see it from Apple or somebody that was Samsung. I think they're pretty good with their stuff. But it's always some random stuff like, what did I just click on? This is not should be it.
Yeah. Yeah. So as far as keywords, like, for instance, for an example, our company that we have, how many keywords do we use?
Great question, Eddie. So we have different ad campaigns. We have one campaign for the location, and then we'll have different ad groups inside of those. Inside of those ad groups are over specific categories. So if we're doing something like just tables, then that tables would just be we'll have the specific like rent a table, you know, table rentals, and then we'll go into some less common stuff like 6-foot table rentals and stuff like that, which kind of actually goes into it just so we can be able to match up how that one goes. So that's what it is. So usually I wouldn't have no more than 10, and they have to be like related to each other. It shouldn't be like nothing crazy, like, you know, truck rentals, and I'll hear you doing trailer rentals, and I'll hear you doing basketball rentals. Like, you can't throw all that stuff inside of a thing.
Yeah.
And just hope your ads will show up. So generally, per ad that you put out, the individual ad, it needs to, I think it's be less than 10. If you do like a general for your site, like we do like party rentals, event rentals, usually that one might have like 8. But most of the time, we spend most of our effort on building our negative keyword list. So we technically haven't added a new keyword this whole year, but we've added about 1,000 negative keywords in this year. So our negative keyword list grows tremendously. So that, you know, this is because like the best way to sort is to say, no, I don't want to be on this. I don't want to be on this. You know, like if you don't have bamboo chairs, don't show up on an ad for bamboo. People surf for bamboo chairs. Mm. If you're not on the beach, don't show up on an ad for stuff on the beach. If you're not in Backwood, Oklahoma, don't show up on ads with talking about people looking for services in Backwood, Oklahoma.
Yeah.
I don't know if Backwood, Oklahoma's a place.
It is now.
It is now. It just appeared.
Yeah, right? It's on the map. But another thing is, I think most of our audience would ask is, where do we get the keywords? Do we just get the, you know, little eight ball and shake it up? Like, all right, put that word in there. Or like, where do we come out with these keywords that we have on our list?
Well, I need that eight ball. You still got it. But generally, what I'll do, so it's two ways you can do it. Or I think really one way that we do it specifically. So generally, when we're doing, I'm gonna give you an example for the Talented Pro, because mm-hmm. this is what we're doing right now.
Yeah.
So right now, looking for the keywords. So the most specific thing is to find other people who are searching for, and then find and look at. So just it's really just doing searches. So I'll do a search, and then
from where?
So from Google.
Google.
I'll do a search, and then I'll see what ads show up, and I'll see what it are the contact, like the actual content of the ads is related to what we're doing, and so I would do that over and over, and then I would start clicking on the organic searches and seeing what pages of those goes to. So if we're setting something up and we're doing like a skid steer rental. So, like, I know that should be a keyword. People are going to search skid steer rentals and see what shows up. When you go there, it'll probably be blah, 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 somebody, Home Depot. And then I'll look through the things, and in the organics, it'll probably be Home Depot and Sunbelt in the very top. Then I'll click on one and see what it goes to. If it goes to a skid steer rental company, I'm like, okay, this is something that we can show up for. And I'll do that kind of specifically over the items. The best way to do it is start with the category of items that you're renting. So, and just put rent a table, rent a chair, rent a tent, start there, and then you can go from tent rental, chair rental, bicycle rental, throne chair rental, Eddie rental, whatever you want to kind of go through the thing. When we're doing the staffing, people surprisingly search for bartender rental, which I don't understand what that means.
It means you rent the bartender.
But yeah, usually you start something basic like that. Since we've been doing this for a while, that's kind of the general understanding. We add a new something new, we market that way. If you're doing linens, linen rental, and then you do rent a linen, or, you know, so you kind of start there. But you kind of want to stay away from these keywords, though. And these should be easily put into your negative keyword list.
Yeah.
How much? Price? Cost, party rental, job. So you don't want to say party rentals, and then still, and people look at party rental, jobs, careers. You don't want the job or careers portion. Like, there's like certain words that have in certain intent. You want people to be like, really want them to say, I'm trying to buy party rentals right now, but no one's really types that.
No.
But they'll type party rentals, or they'll be like party rentals near me.
Or emergency.
Yeah. Yeah. Well. Yeah. They won't say emergency, but they'll say party rentals open Sunday, party rentals open now. Or realistically, a big keyword that I really like, and we don't actually put it into it because most of the words already happen there. We just kind of focus on making sure this one gets more attention, is party rentals near me. Because that's like a big thing where they're literally trying to find somebody close to them, near to them.
Yeah.
So those work out pretty well. And those are the kind of the general formats to get you started. Start with, if you're doing just general party rentals, event rental, event equipment rental, party equipment rental. You're doing like a venue rentals in Louisville, like where we are. Or you're doing venue rentals in Orlando, venue rentals in name a place that you like.
Orlando?
Okay. Do you like Orlando? No. I
mean, in Florida?
Anywhere.
You know, I love Pensacola.
Pensacola, which is, that would be a good place because I've done some research and it's not tremendously overstacked with people in the medium and small tier. So you can do it that way. It's pretty simple. Just whatever the category is, rentals, or rent a this the category. And then from there, once you kind of get a base down, you can break it down to another category, to another ad group of rent garden chairs, rent. And then you can get into the specific one. Those will convert very well, because the landing pages have to take them straight to that page. So like, you can't be like party rentals and people show up on your site for your venue. Or shows up on your site for like your, you know, you know, if you have a, if you're renting strippers out or something like that, it doesn't, which remember we had some of the ads were showing
in Austin. Yeah. Or like, why are we going against this ad right here?
Yeah.
And it's like, for strippers is crazy.
Yeah. And they were on like our keywords and our keyword was like event rentals.
Yeah.
And I guess technically could, but one of the purse people going up and I don't know, cause they were up the whole time. I would hope they were making some money from it. But you look on the ads and like, what the? Ed was like,
who's or maybe person? It works out because maybe you're not, that's not your intention. But you're like, we are throwing a party. That would be nice.
It's always good to have strippers. It's like, bring on the strippers.
Yeah, right. So I don't know. They were doing fine, like
what's
you
that,
said.
What's that one song?
Which one?
Somebody Loves the Strippers.
Oh, that, yeah. With what's his name?
So it could
two
be.
Chains.
Yeah,
Two
Chains. Yeah, maybe with Two Chains doing that. He said, like, this is what you really want.
Yeah, right.
That could be a good.
That's a good strategy.
Yeah, that's a different strategy. Yeah, different strategy. Searching for, if you know what people outcome they want.
Yeah,
you can do some type of shop marketing to be like to get them to click and kind of go over and kind of introduce you to their thing.
Yeah, well, it makes sense because like they have the intent that they're gonna throw a party.
Yeah,
and then you're just rolling the dice that it's gonna be a male. You know that would want.
Well, technically you can go in and set it to just be males.
Mm. Oh, yeah. There you go.
But you know the ladies like the strippers too.
Hey, you're right about that. But I think maybe the percentage.
When you at LeBears or something?
No, I was not. That's a lie. I was not.
Oh, that was maybe that was a joke. Sometime.
Yeah, that was a joke. That wasn't me.
No, that wasn't you. That was not me. But yeah, so you can imagine Eddie of the day like they're giving you the money. No, but so like you said, yeah. But if you do that. And if you don't have some type of high value product or something like that, your ad cost is gonna go out the roof. Mm-hmm. And you could be, because people like us, we're gonna be very specific, very targeted across it. You're not gonna be able to win. But you can run these same things too. Like if you have a huge competitor and they have huge name recognition, and you want to run off of that, sometimes it's cheaper just to run as the competitor. And since most times your competitor is not running ads on themselves. The bigger players will, but most people are not. You can easily show up on there. And if they are, you show up in the second spot because most likely it's just going to be you running ads. So your cost per click can be very cheap.
Yeah.
Because there's only two people going for. So your cost per click could be like, literally, I guess it could be whatever their thing is.
Yeah.
Just needs to be, if it's lower than theirs, you'll come in second and you'll just show up second on the page.
Yeah, exactly. I think like one strategy on that that I've seen is like the first person, like I'm pretty sure everybody knows this in the rental industry that, they'll go through their items that they have, and they just won't have any pricing at all. So in that sense, if I knew that, then I'll be the second one that they click. Because some people see that and they're like, I don't want to waste time. I want something fast. I want to know because people don't want to submit something and wait. So in knowing that, you know, if I have my pricing and you can pay right now, I'm and they go to me second, I'm more likely to get the sale. If it's that certain individual that's like that.
Yeah, and if you're not doing like a bigger company or somebody's more strategic. This could just be cheap traffic. And so if you don't know the keywords to use, which we just locked them out to you, your categories, just whoever your competitors is. So let's say you maximize all you had to do on the other one, or you was in a small town or something. You maximize, chair rentals, table rentals, tent rentals, whatever you kind of rent. You maximize that. Then next thing you can go through and do your competitors and then do, you know, if it's Jimmy Tutu's rentals, or something, Jimmy Tutu Party Rentals, or JJ's tent rentals, whatever it is, you can show those if they have some recognition, and hopefully they've been around more than you. Mm-hmm. So you can do that and now work out. But like when you get to like the big players, like, you know, the Marquees, the Brights, and kind of going more in depth into like what's the Pro-Am, mm-hmm. Or get into Party LTD, these bigger players, Classic Rentals. I know you got some of the guys like, who are these people? You know, these are the giants in the industry. And there's some other ones too that we're not even mentioning. So when you get into those people, most likely they're going to be running. They're going to have huge brands, and they've been working with thousands and thousands of customers a month. So it'd be really good for you to be able to, like, tens of thousands of customers a month. You'll be to run ads under them as a competitor. But just know that it's going to cost more than running on Joe Blow, who's maybe number one in your area and doesn't really do anything online. So you can even show up. You just gotta make sure your landing page is accurate. So you don't want them to be like calling you and to be like, is this Joe Blow Rentals? I'm like, no, it's not Joe Blow's Rentals. This is what you call
it. Like, it can be.
Like, why'd you show up? So like, you have to do those things. And if you're doing like marquee letters and stuff like that.
You know what's funny about that?
But,
like sometimes on the maps, I'll type in like, and this has happened to me like twice or three times. I'll type in, we'll just say Home Depot, and then I'll say okay, I'll click the first one, and I didn't even look at it, and then it took me like to Harbor Freight or something.
Yeah, Harbor Freight's trying to get
I'm
you.
Like, hey, well, I'm here already, so let me go ahead and get it done.
And sometimes that worked, and they'd be like, oh, well, because most people, which I think most people, surprisingly, because I know I didn't at first, that Harbor Freight is basically does the same thing as what you call it. For most of the regular stuff you might need, same thing as Home Depot, just less for a price. Obviously, they don't sell the lumber, a lot of the other stuff, but more of the specific, you know, things like that.
And little things in between.
And little things in between. They sell those, and maybe that's for them. That's a huge market because most people know Home Depot, most people don't know Harbor Freight. And so maybe that's how they do it. And then you click it, and you, especially on the map, you click it, you drive up to it, and you're going like, where's the Home Depot? Where's the guy in the front?
Yeah, right.
Like, and you're like, where's the Lowe's at? Where's the Lotus man in the front?
Yeah.
Where's my hot dogs? Yeah.
Not here. But not we got here. Great prices.
Yeah, and you can work in there, and, yeah. that can work. But for us, that's kind of like, that's interesting. It gets interesting, especially when you get into these bigger players. We'll maybe do a test one day to show you guys which how you can do it, but just general from keywords, whatever your category is, rentals or rent something in your category, start there. Party rentals, event rentals. If you do bounce houses, do that. And start, and you can kind of go from there and then work on that. Make sure everything is phrase match. Don't do exact match. Not saying that it's bad, it's going to cost you a little more. And also, too, you're going to miss out on some things that people say. Don't, and if you can do, if you don't follow anything that we say, have negative keywords and put in place, and don't use broad match. Because what happens with broad match, if it's party rentals, that they're going to separate it. Anything that has party in it, anything that has rentals in it, they're going to show it up. And not all at the same time.
Yeah.
So it just has to show up with one of these words. So you're going to be sitting there and be like Jimmy's party, and you're going to show up for that. And you're like, oh, snap. Or whatever someone types in. Or biggest party or Project X.
And you're wondering where all your money went.
Yeah. And it's related to it. So it's going to be like if someone's like, you're going to show up for like, what's that store called? Fiesta?
Oh, the grocery store.
Yeah, you're gonna stay with that because that's gonna be the opposite word of party.
Yeah.
So, you're gonna be, you're gonna have an issue. So don't do that.
All right. So the statistic that I have for this section is 1/3 of people, or 33% of people, click on a paid search ad because it directly answers their search query.
Yeah. So like same thing we just said. Like most people are trying to get to the answer really fast and get straight to it. And like Eddie said. And especially in the maps, sometimes you're not even looking. You're just like, whatever, and then you start driving. You're like,
yeah, because you're driving, you're like, let me click the first one because it's going to map it out, like which one is the closest. And I'm like, hey, this is not, well, I'm here. And then you find out like, hey, I like this. I didn't know about that Harbor Freight, like, I don't know, 4 years ago or something like that. And when I found it, it was actually through Action.
4 years ago? I thought you knew about it before. You came
before
to me.
Four or five.
You came to me like.
It was pretty recent, but I had to share the awesomeness that I found. I was like, whoa. Zip ties for like $2 for 100 pack.
You made it seem like, oh, I've been doing this
for
a long time.
It was maybe like a year or so that I found out.
I did not know that.
No.
That's interesting. What else I don't know about you?
I don't know. We're going to find out.
I hope not. Keep me in the dark. Like, I don't want to know. Yeah, so. Like Eddie said, that's perfect. And if you actually, because one thing, the thing that Google cares about, I know most people think Google only cares about money and stuff. They do
that
care about
too.
Money. They do care about money. But they already have a lot of money. Yeah. One thing they really care about is satisfying the customer because the customer comes back and then they get more money. So as long as your ad that you put up there can actually solve the person's issue and most likely to solve the person's issue, you'll get more and more from Google. And Google won't kick you off and throw you into the biz. Where you won't have, throw you into the abyss of irrelevance, which is the worst.
The worst.
But you know what's not the worst?
What's that?
Novo Banking.
Ooh, love them.
Yeah, we love them. Someone we use, we already have a couple people from the actual community. I was about to say the Rental Boys community, like Eddie said.
Why not?
It's nothing wrong. I think we need to get a name. You help us out on that part.
Yeah, but message in the comments what you want to be named.
Yeah, what you want to be named. But Novo is basically a business banking platform. So allows you to be able to pay all your bills and stuff through there. You can do all your categorizations. You can have different reserves. So like specifically if you're using the checklist and it tells you the five accounts you need to have. You can have those five accounts. You can have your spending account. You can have your unearned revenue account, your earned revenue account, maybe your savings account, and you can split everything up with just one account. For us, it has worked out pretty much greatly. We use it for our venues, and basically every single business we start going forward will be using Novo. If you sign up with the link that we have, which they're not paying us to do this, but we do get paid if you help us out. You get $25, we get $25, we can make more shows, and we can go from there. I don't wanna know. So now that you got these ads running, and you're probably like, I'm good. I don't gotta do nothing. I just can let it play it out. Xavier, you're right. The money's coming in. Everything's good. This will never end. No, so it's time to start monitoring and optimizing your ads. There's a lot of things you do. First of all, it's not like you have to do a lot every day, but you can basically push it out to once a week. First thing, I will review all my search terms. So every single keyword or search term that my ad shows up for, I will go review that to make sure that that is something that I want to show up for. Depending on how much money you're running, that could be 50 search terms, or that could be like us, like 2,000, you know, to 4,000, you know, a week or less or more. I think most times more. It'd be crazy. So you can do that. So that's the first little optimization. Second thing, you should always be going in or out of a test. And this test should be specifically over your actual ad, your verbiage of your ads. So the first day you start, you'll create two ads, ad A, ad B, and then you'll change one thing about the ad. Not everything, because you can't test stuff if you change everything. So change everything. So it could be one ad has a phone number, one ad doesn't have a phone number, and then you can test. And then next week, when there's a significant which one's better, so like usually around up to when one's at 70% or more, choose a 70% one that's performing better, and then create one for that. If that's the one with the phone number, maybe you change the headline, and then keep the headline on this one same, keep the headline on this one, and change the headline, keep the phone number and everything, and then do it. And then you just do that over and over, and you can usually want it to play out basically, depending on how much money you're spending. Because sometimes you spend enough money, you literally can play this out in like a couple of days. But for most people out there, you'd probably be doing this in, you know, a week or two. Or generally, I would say like every 2 weeks. Every time you come in, you'll look at the findings, adjust from there. And you should set it to where Google will auto-rotate the ads. Because what Google would try to do, if you leave it on like where it works automatically, Google will go through and just start rotating your ads. And as soon as it figures out which one it can get the most money from, is going to start showing that one and not your other one. And then you'll just, but if you do like where it rotates them simultaneously and you do it evenly, then you'll be better. So you can actually do a real test. The only problem is that like if the second ad is so much worse than the first ad, half of your stuff will be crappy. So you got to look into that. But generally, if you're doing testing, you're only changing one thing. And that one thing usually doesn't make a huge impact of taking away. So you just keep going back and forth from there. And then at end of the year, you have your great ad. And you do this across all your ad campaigns. And you do this forever and ever. And you just keep working. And then your numbers, then as competition arise, and then as your click-through rates and stuff, everything, and Google changes and stuff, you get weighed differently and you adjust differently across the board. But you'll do that. And eventually, once you're doing a test, you'll change your actual landing page. And then you'll just keep doing testing. It's just all testing. Just test, does this work? Does this work? And compare it. And then eventually you have a rubric going forward when you do your actual, like when you create a new ad. Mm-hmm. You'd be like, I've tested this and this is similar to this. You're going to skip to the front of the line. And that's just the general format. So like you can basically start off with almost 10 years worth of teaching. Like we have a negative keyword list. And if you want negative keyword list, just send us a message or put, I need that keyword list.
Now.
Send Eddie to his personal phone number.
Don't. It's not even wife. Like, who's that now?
Who's that? Hey, like, what is that? What is that? You can get that. We can send it to you. And that keyword list would just be like, based on each one of your categories, we have it set up for like what you're trying to do. It's like 600 keywords, negative keywords that'll kind of keep stuff off of your ads. So not running. Another thing that we do to optimize, we have a service that when people try to click on the ads too much, that service blocks it. I think it's like, I don't remember what that service is called, like Clickly, I don't know. It'll be up on the screen somewhere. We'll put it up. And but you should use that service like $50 a month. And then if you're spending enough to do that, if you're only spending $50 a month, don't use the service. But if you're spending enough, and then it goes through and it takes away traction on traffic. So when people are doing, like if someone's coming from Singapore, coming to your ad, and you're in
racking up the dollars.
Yeah, racking up the dollars and some like that, or some of these search tools like SEMrush or clicking on your ads, it'll kind of avoid them to make sure you don't show up and some of the stuff and block the users. And then also too, it will be retroactive too. So then what you can do is that you, if you submit all this data up to there, it'll then you can take the documents they have and you can give it to Google, and then Google will refund you. Which is crazy. Most people know this. We'll refund you the money for all these clicks that you have decided have determined that are bad, and you can go back through there. It's a process. Many people never do it. I've only heard like two people do it before, and all those people are rich. So maybe you can be one of those people too, and you can do it as well. But we do that like maybe like once a quarter, put them together, and just get the money back. They don't give you back your money. They give you back credit. You know, Google ain't giving you nothing back. But
it's already spent. We'll keep it in the company.
Yeah, keep it in the company. You know, it costs them nothing too, to run these ads. They're like, I think the profit margin, then you say 80-something percent of their profit comes from
ads.
From their ads. From all of their profit. It's not just how profitable that thing, but 80% of all the profit that they make come from their ads. And their ad team is like one of the smallest teams they have. They're trying to build it out more and doing other stuff. Like, people are going to be calling you saying, like, hey, I'm with Google.
I'm not falling for that.
Yeah, let me set your ass up. And the thing is, there'll be people actually from Google, but still don't fall for it.
Yeah.
Because my mom, let me tell you this right here. I didn't even tell you this right here. I was hoping to keep this on the podcast, too. So, hey, my mom was like, hey, the ads are not converting. I'm saying, Mom, pretty sure not the app, pretty sure the landing page or something's happening. She said, no, it's the ads. He said, look at this right here. I was like, Mom, your click-through rate's the same. Your cost per click is down. Just it looked like the people traffic in there. Maybe something wrong on the website. So she was like, "It's all right." And she eventually she was like, "What are you doing anyway?" And she whatever. and then she went to then the person like one of those Google people that thing. I was calling you too that one time when I set up an account underneath your name.
Yeah,
but calling you saying, "Hey, everything is wrong on your account. Let me show you how to improve it. Look at your optimization score. It's a 3." And then I almost said like, "I think I'm going to go with it." I said, "I don't think you should do that, Mom." But it's
very convincing.
Yeah, what is she gonna say? I said, they said my position score was a 3. I'm saying, what are they optimizing for? And she was saying, like, for me to get leads. And then she said, even the guy was like, because I think she told him a number. I'm saying, Mom, if you do the cost on that, the guy's saying that your average order is $400 and you're getting leads for $70. He's saying, like, oh, that's terrible. We can get it down to $10. I'm like, so you can get a 400, you can get 40x from a random person. Yeah. Hold up, Mom went through the process, Eddie. So
when was this?
I think it was last month.
Okay.
And so then she went through the process. And then she called me one day. She was saying, hey, you know, like, can you put my ads back how they got them from? I was like, why, Mom? What's wrong? She's like, why would you? I said, oh, you're Google Ad Genius guy with 100% optimization and getting you to convert. And I was kind of salty at this time, so I'm sorry about that. It's just because I was like, I told her not to do this. And I was like, and I went in there. And so before she said that, because I went in there and checked her ads. And then I let them run for a little bit. And then I changed them. And then the next day she was like, oh, no, they're working again. I was like, yeah, because I changed them all back to where they're supposed to be at. He took all my hard work. And so what the guy had done, long-winded story, is that he optimized. I'm not saying that every person does this on Google, but in my experience, he optimized to spend more money. So she went from $1.19 a click, cost per click, to $5 a click. And I know some people are out there like, oh, maybe the ads converted more. She converted no leads. And this is over a week and a half's break. I was like, what if the guy's right? That's what I had in my head. I was like, you know, maybe I'm wrong. You know, I got insecurities in my head. So like, maybe I'm not as good as I'm talking about. Maybe I'm just crazy.
And he felt good when he saw it, right? You saw it crumble. You're like,
no, I didn't want it to crumble because if it was right, I was going to do that to my ass. So I was like, well,
it's a guinea pig.
Yeah, if it's good, it works for us. Yeah. If it's bad,
you know, I'm still right.
I'm in this, just confirmation. So she went through that and it was like $5. It was like high $5. I'm thinking everything was 6, but I can remember telling her it was 6. But she went from like basically $1 to $6 in cost per click, and her click through rate dropped. So find out the guy optimized his stuff. He put her search stuff, Like I told earlier, he put it on the display network. So she has her ads running on random people's websites, people talking about doglovers.com,
yeah, showing like, up on there.
You need a rental. It's just like completely untargeted. So that like, ate through her marketing completely. So that happened. And then two is like, he's like saying, oh, you need to add all these extra keywords. I'm like, do you see what one of these keywords is, Mom? It's like, this says on party rental jobs. Like, are you offering jobs to people? Like, do you have a careers page up on here? I was like, why would you? And then like, and the thing is, dude, the guy, my mom said that, not trying to put too much on her. Mom said that the guy was just like, he said like, let me see. Then I guess she gave him access to like, she gave him some type of thing or something. And
like telnetted in and kind of solved everything.
There's not so technically, I guess, cause he logged in. So this is a real Google person. So that person, he somehow logged an account and said, hey, go through this. And then he's done like, okay, we're going to change this, we're going to do this. And then he was like, are you okay with this?
So, you know, this reminds me of, remember that we always joke about that South Park, like the banker, he's like, we're going to move it over here and it's gone.
Yeah, put that clip up here. And it's gone.
So like, yeah.
But it's still in my hand.
Like, hey, yeah, Google sent an assassin to take your mom's money as much as it can. He's like, oh, this is making us too much money. Get in there and do your thing.
So like, I just feel like he optimized it for them to spend for her to spend as much money with them. Now, the reason why I'm saying this right here, and I'm not saying that all these people are bad.
Yeah.
And all stuff like that.
Maybe just a bad representative.
Yeah, maybe a representative that have happened to us multiple times, every time I've ever had it, whatever. But that's just my experience. I could just be biased. Because, but I would say this is how I see it. When you take advice from someone who's doing ads or spending money, you need to think about how much have they put at risk. And realistically, for Google, when Google has run his ads lately, they don't spend any. I mean, they might have these things, they move money from one account to the next account, but they're not actually spending any money on their ads.
Doesn't so like, hurt them.
Yeah, so if it works or doesn't work, they just, you know.
Move on to the next one.
They can do these broad searches. I'm pretty sure you've had one of the searches on Google. You search for something, and then like Google Pixel comes up. Like, I'm looking for a salon. Like, what the? You know, like it's like so. Like, don't take like just when you do look at that. Look who what people put their money at. First, don't just like just take broad advice from stuff. I'm not saying Google. I'm not saying Google don't know how to run ads. I'm just saying that the people calling you probably have never put any money towards any ads, and that was specifically their own, or that be responsible for.
Because
if you call them back, like I did one time, I said, hey, your changes didn't work. What's going to happen? Where's my money at? And it was like, well, if you read the thing that I sent you, it said that, like,
it's in the matrix.
Yeah, results are varied. It's in the matrix. It was like they were dodging all, like the customers came through and dodging all my ads.
Yeah, plug the display in, show them what the matrix looks like.
Oh my gosh! So you just watch out for that. That is like, that's not good. I don't like the whole thing with that. So if they call you from Google or Bing, I don't even answer the Bing stuff. So I don't know what they're even. I don't even entertain that. I'm not saying nothing wrong with Bing. I'm just, you know, if Bing want to throw some free stuff out, you know, I'm with it. I'm with you. But like realistically, I don't know if I had anybody called us, or I don't know if
you didn't answer.
I don't know if I would even remember that. If someone called you and said, hey, I'm a Bing representative, you'd be like, ah!
Like, oh, really?
But Bing does.
I'm the president of the United States.
Just be saying crazy stuff now.
So the statistic I have for this segment is the average click-through rate for an ad in the first position is 7.98%.
7.98%. I'm not going to say to you guys that is bad. It just depends on who you're advertising with. So generally, from my understanding, from what I've seen from our personal stuff that we've done, is that 30% of the clicks will go to the ads. 30, and I know this sounds crazy, it's like 33, but yeah, it's like 33% will go to the ads, 33% will go to the search results at the top, and then 33% will go to the maps, if all three are present at the same time. Sometimes it won't be present, sometimes it'll just be ads, or organic, or so-and-so. So, I mean, think about that. So you cut that down to 30%, and now it's 70%. Now you're looking at basically where you're getting basically, what is that, Eddie? Like 20-something% of the clicks, or 25% of the clicks. So if you're in the first position, you get 25% of the clicks that come through. So that could be good depending on what you're doing on there. But if you're the first position, you should do better. I think our stuff is around like 12%, and we're never number one. We allow somebody else to spend more money. Because one thing I've seen, being number two allows, I mean, the person that they went through the first time, they didn't like what they're doing, and I mean that you have a better opportunity to be able to get into
execute.
It. And they actually read your actual stuff and compared it against the other place.
Yeah.
Instead of just going through Eddie's like, Home Depot. And, going through, and then showing up at, you know, at Lowe's.
Hey. Like, it's well, I'm here now.
I'm here now. I'm doing the hot dogs. Can y'all tell me this right here? And I know this is off topic. Does all you guys' Lowe's have someone who does hot dogs at the front? And is that a person working with the Lowe's Corporation? Or how did he always have the hot dogs? And the hot dogs taste good, too. They're the Lotes men. I'm like, I'm trying to figure out what's going on. How do we get a spot? Like, when your person sign up, is it at all the Lowe's? Is it the Lowe's Depot stuff? Like, what is it? It seemed like in Florida is there. Here is there. Every place we go. Oh, that's just a food for thought right there. So I know this right here has been a lot of me just talking at Eddie and you guys. So we're into the budget. And I think you've asked, I don't know. Maybe I might just be putting your voice on everybody's thing.
Go for it.
But I think you've asked specifically, like, how much should we be spending or what that should be? And that number is so difficult to be able to define for everybody's situation because it matters a lot. It matters during the time of year. It matters how much equipment you have. It matters exactly what you're advertising for. Typically, you want to be able to spend as much as you possibly can because if it's giving you if you put a dollar in and get you $10 out, you need to take that $10, put it in there so you can get $100 out, take that $100, get $1,000 out, you know, rank $10,000.
Yeah.
$100,000, $1 million. Just keep going back and forth. So you want to do that. But you're going to run into restrictions because I'm pretty sure most of you guys are not starting this because you already, you know, have millions of dollars already or $1 million in equipment. And if you do have millions of equipment, then you can just keep running this strategy all the way up.
Scale it up.
Yeah, you can just scale it up. But generally, I think most people should invest whatever your marketing is. I think you should put about half your marketing budget in here for people who are smaller at least. And then see, and then compare this versus your other marketing that you're doing. Now, if your other marketing is going to be hand-to-hand comeback and you're already building relationships, you already have these relationships, it's not going to be a fair fight. But one thing you will do is that dump my marketing from dollars, not just resource and time. So I will put, you know, most of my resources, money-wise, into this. And then I would just work the time a little bit each week to get them better. And then most of my other resources would be into cold outreach or to warm outreach or some kind, like your time-wise. So you can be hitting it on both sides. And then you just follow up. But eventually, your leads are going to get so many leads that you got so much to follow up on. And you can that's when you hire someone, you know, through one of our companies, like Talent Hunter Pro. So you can do that. But what questions do you have for me about budgeting, Eddie?
So that's one thing I was going to ask. As far as budgeting, you kind of answered it. I was going to ask, is there a certain percentage of, like, the profit that you would invest? Like, is there, like, a golden number that everyone should invest in budgeting?
Yeah. So typically, so, like this year, I allotted that we're probably, since we wanted to get to basically around $2.8 million this year, so I allotted that we're going to spend at least 10% of that in ads. So that's $287,000. So that's kind of how I did the budgeting for it. And I know that during the slow months, we're going to spend more because our cost per acquisition of leads go up. And then during the busy months, the cost per acquisition goes down like tremendously and we're going to spend less. So it was like a balancing act that we're going to kind of work on too. So that's just kind of what I would say. So it's not so much a percentage, it's just you have to be realistic with the data you have. And I realized that like, from strictly getting it straight from that year, that's been the conversion number we have. Now, if we're talking about long term effects of it, then it's a whole different. But if we're talking about just for what the revenue is going to be. So you can't be like, I'm going to spend $50 and I'm going to get $10 million from that. Not saying you can't. Some people pull off some crazy stuff. You know,
you get that one golden egg and you optimize on it.
Yeah, that could work. That could push it prosper, especially if you're doing ads where you're only trying to show up for one specific person, which that's a whole advanced strategy that you can do where you can just show up everywhere they search and everywhere they are. It's expensive, but you maybe can get some money. But for us, that's not our goal because we don't have a well that we're specifically looking for that could give us that. So it's just usually 10% of whatever the revenue is going to be. It's kind of the allotted spending for that. And then across all the advertising, but most of our advertising goes towards Google or the search intent base. So that's kind of where we kind of put most everything in. Let's get into what they should do. So we've had a couple people reach out and they're like spending like $5 a day or something like that. I'm not saying $5 is bad. I know that's $150 a month.
Give or take.
Give or take, depending on stuff, yeah. So I do think that you probably need to get, I know this sounds crazy, but at least a $10 to get $300, preferably $20, so you can get a full effect of it, mm-hmm. and then run it there, because that'll at least get you one or two leads a day or something along that lines, or at least some calls, so you can get your phones going, so you can start working on the process. I don't expect, if you do have a lot of inventory, your phone systems and your call stuff set up needs to be prepared, because you can't just go from, you know, I'm going to do this at $1,000 a day, and then you got one person answer the phone. Like, you're going to get crushed. And it's gonna get crushed and drugged, and then people are going to leave reviews because you didn't, like that one person, because we didn't get back to them in 10 minutes.
Oh, yeah, I remember that one. Yeah, so basically you wanna budget or scale to your actual operation and your ability to do these things.
Yeah, so you're going to do that, but usually 10% of your revenue put towards your stuff to get back in there. Depending on whatever your ratio is, like as our ratio starts to grow and stuff in the future, it will be a different. We'll still put 10%, but we'll expect to get more depending on what we're trying to do. But 10% of what you're trying to get to, not 10% of what you have, or you're going to get similar to what you have. And generally, the cost, it gets more competitive every year, and the cost goes up. So you need to keep working on your adding and performing better and better.
All right, so my statistic for this segment is PPC generates twice the number of visitors compared to SEO.
I don't know about this. I'm skeptical about this.
Why?
Depends on, like, to us, I would agree with this. Mm-hmm. But to generally, when most people are kind of ad adverse, so a lot of people I've seen who do very well gets most of their stuff specifically from just SEO. Mm-hmm. And SEO is still, a really powerful tool. It just takes longer to do. It just depends on, I think this is, maybe if you cut it in, because there's some people who do no ads and get nothing but search, and some people do all ads and get nothing. And then get people like us who kind of like, in the middle, maybe we lean more towards the pay-per-click, but we still get in some of the search results. Hmm. But I don't know. This is interesting. If this number holds up, this number is interesting. So now we're going to go into the rental rundown.
Rental rundown. All right, here goes the question. Should you advertise in off-season or slower months?
Hey, this is not Tina.
It's me, Eddie.
Okay. So, yes. So, this is going to kind of hit you in the head differently on this one right here. You should spend more money during your slow months. A lot more money. Because your cost for acquisition of the leads go up. So, if you're generally, I'm going to do it just out. This is not no one's leads, I'm pretty sure. Let's say it's $1 to acquire leads during the busy season. Now, during a slow season, generally, that might be $1.50. So, just to keep up the same pace, you're going to be around 50% that you need to spend more. Mm-hmm. And then also, too, you have the issue with the demand goes down. So, like, that might be an issue. So, maybe you might not use the same amount, but at least you can maximize that channel. And this might be the only time you ever maximize the channel.
Yeah.
Like Google AdWords or Bing.
All right, so the second question is, how do you increase your percentage of leads?
Hey, you don't sound like Eddie. So how to increase your percentage of leads? You need to convert more visitors into leads, which means you either need higher converting. Actually, I think this could be a lot of different metrics from the beginning. So starting out, you need impressions. You need your keyword to show up for impressions. Mm-hmm. So the more impressions your keyword show up, the more likely that you'll be getting actually converting people to leads. Then once those stop converting, you want that click-through rate to be higher, which will drive down your cost of what you do in AdWords on there. And then from your click-through rate of the amount of people going there, say you have 1,000 people going there. Now how many of those 1,000 people convert over to leads? You need to work on your conversion, which is landing page. So typically, if you look on there and you have less than a 5% conversion click-through rate, then you need to work on your keyword to your ad and making sure it's right. If your impressions are low, then you need to figure out better keywords, or you need to broaden your targeting up, or that just might be all the market has to offer for you. So it just depends. if you're looking at, okay, my click-through rate is good, my impressions are pretty high, and now I'm like, okay, I'm still not converting, then something probably wrong with your landing page. There's not a, it's not, you didn't confirm the ad, that the actual title of the ad or something on your actual landing page. So there is not, it's not cohesive, or your offer isn't good, that you're, whatever you're doing. So you might be hinting the page and say, do you have $10,000 spent on this? And it's a yes or no button. They push no and leave, then they bounce. That's on you. So you have to be able to know these things. But generally, you want your keyword to show up in your ad, and then your ad kind of text to show up in your somewhere on your page as well, specifically at the very beginning. And then that usually will help you increase your stuff, increase everything. You need to work on everything, just get more refined to where everything shows up on there. The perfect campaign that you'll get to eventually, as I said, even I said don't do this at first, but eventually you'll get to exact match. And it'd be like, you might have 35, which is very different than what I said. You might have like 100 or 135 exact keywords that people search for that you know going to convert. You know the exact numbers on those. And then you put all your money and efforts into those keywords. And maybe you cut that down to still 20, and because those convert at half the times. And you do that. But that's like years and years down the road. With, you need a lot of data to be able to figure that out. But I'm going to let Eddie do a wrap up all the stuff I sent to you. See how much he learned.
Oh, I learn new things every day. So this one, shouldn't be a surprise, but you know, I have bad memory. But a recap, key points on this whole ordeal is a lot of the information that we gave everybody was basic stuff that we personally do in our own company. A lot of insight on the marketing, like the Google, Yelp, different sources of advertisement that we use. And we've used in the past, but we no longer use, but we will continue using it in the future. As we grow, a lot of the numbers that we've given you are just examples of what me and Xavier basically develop over the years of in business to use and implement in your company. But the main thing is you have to, if you want to be successful in business and you know grow, you're going to need to start running some kind of ad, whether it be you know organic, you know, grow your SEO or paid ads. But it's what's needed. It's what everybody does. And even the big guys that we've been talking about, they're running some sort of ads. So if you haven't done so yet, go ahead and jump in it with the information that we just gave you and get started.
Yeah. So thank you guys so much for watching. Make sure you check out the links down in the description. It helps support the channel. And if you're looking for any consulting, any help or anything, reach out to us. Stuff about the Google Ads. We help people on Google Ads all the time. If you want us to be the person managing, we can do the same process as well. But thank you guys so much. I'm Xavier Kelly.
Peace out, Seth.
And don't forget this ultimate checklist. And we'll see you in the next one.
See you.